Well, let's go to four, because I want to get into four, but I wanted to make sure that we have one through three. If we are all clear on it, anybody have any?
It was verse four where we ended with times future, times past.
Okay, four was John to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was
right.
And which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne.
Right, and it's the time is or...
No, it says grace be unto you and peace from him. From him which is. Now I'm just looking at the King James Version.
Okay, mine says, who always was.
Right.
Who is still to come. Okay, maybe it was just two. Always was.
What version do you have?
That's what I was trying to, because I...
Study guide, translation.
I'm not familiar with that.
It's not a version, though?
I'm sure it is. It says... King James Revised.
Oh, King James.
Oh, New Living Translation.
New
okay.
Living.
Okay.
Okay. See, that's why, you know, always go back and do when you're reading it, do your King James first, then go whichever one that breaks it out that you can get a clearer understanding from.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of go through those and bounce off and which get a better one. Let me break this down right here in four. Now, when you have a three, not dispensation. I'm trying to get it right. But when you have a three time spans in one, you got past, present, and future. It always will signify the Father. The Father was before everything. You see what I'm talking about? Now, when we get down a little bit further, Jesus is going to say, I was and is to come. We're going to get to that. So I'm just going to say, then all of that going to do is verify again that Jesus Christ is the Father, is in the Son, and the Son is in the Father. So it's going to really be a confirmation of that. But here
it's talking about the Father.
It's talking about the Father.
Okay.
Because the Father is giving information. See, John to the seven churches which are in Asia Minor, grace be unto you and peace from him which is. So who is he talking about? Before everything was, there was God. All right. Then God spoke and the word made everything made that was made. So when you talk about what was, what is, and what is to come, is the Father. All right.
Not Jesus Christ.
It's going to explain that a little bit further.
Okay.
This is what he's saying right now is the Father of all is the one that's going to give you everything. Now, he gives you that through who?
Jesus.
Through Jesus.
That's what I'm saying. So that's why I want you to understand when I tell you it's him, the Father is always over all. So now when we get into... verse 8, which we're not there yet, then you're going to see Jesus speaking, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending, said the Lord, which is and was and which is to come.
Okay.
The Almighty.
Okay. All right.
Additionally, in that verse Rose just read, you just read there, he's actually talking about the triune God. It's actually talking about the God, the Father, God, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's
right.
It's a triune. He's referencing
it's the Godhead
right
in totality.
I'm not sure if the explanation gave you that, but when you said there was three, it is three. Then I heard you say that maybe it's only two. Well, it was three.
Okay.
Because he's talking about when you look at it, he say which is one, which was two, and which is to come.
That's
three.
All right. Now let's dive into it. We're looking at it says to the seven churches which are in Asia Minor. When you look at that, were there more than seven churches in Asia Minor?
Yes.
Okay, so why do you think he was just at that point speaking to just those seven? I'm just throwing it out.
They missed him.
No, young folks say, I'm just saying.
Just saying.
Did they represent all of them? There was something about the seven that represented all the churches?
Well, now there's going to be something about seven. We're going to get into that. But we're going to get to that.
I'm going to dig seven churches out.
Right, but I'm just saying, did y'all look into it? Does anybody wonder why it was just to seven churches when there were really more churches that were in Asia Minor at the time? All right, now let me read this to you. Nobody?
It's probably because they represent the general types of churches that were in Asia Minor. The ones that have issues. I'm not saying it right. I can't think of the word right now.
This is a study, all right? So I want to know, when you ask questions, I want you to have in mind, you know, what you're misunderstanding or what you want to draw from it.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Now, for history's sake, let me throw this out here, all right? When the gospel was first preached, when the first word came, it came to who?
Israelites.
Aha. Uh-huh. So upon their rejection, it came to who?
The Gentiles.
All right. So I want you to understand this. It's going to go A, then it's going to go B. So this seven is not necessarily, if you want to view it in a particular order, but just in a order. All right. Now, what I want to do is read this to you. This is from that Revelation Understood Commentary.com. Let me just read this to you. And this made a little bit better clarity to me. All right. In John 4 through 6, John to the seven, and it had assemblies. Mm-hmm. This commentary didn't do churches. It called them assemblies, mm-hmm. because actually each church is assembly, yes. And an assembly of a group of believers. All right, so it says here, a seven assemblies which are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is, okay, it says, and the seven spirits which are before his throne and from Yahushua the Messiah, the faithful witness, and the firstborn from the dead, the ruler over the kings, to him who loved us, watched us. Okay, I say, some say Revelation was written just to the seven assemblies or congregations of Asia Minor, which are addressed in chapter 2 and 3, but there are seven indications that it was intended not only for the Lord's people, the disciples. It was intended not only for the Lord's people, the disciples of Yahushua, which is Jesus, in general, but to his people, the Jews. There are more than seven assemblies of believers in Asia Minor. The distinctly different characteristics from the seven different characteristics of the seven from one another seem to indicate that they are representative of all the assemblies of the Father.
Representation.
It's just representation. It said to the seven, but each one of them represented a particular area. So just like Elder showed me the different spots that the main seven churches are in, there are always other churches that are always around there. If you want to put it in a better term, it would be districts. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Hmm? Districts, territories, you know. Yeah. So they just pick one, but that represented. That had the characteristics.
That's another good region.
Okay, region is good. Region is good.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so now this is how we want to look at it. So when you're diving in here, cut it up good, boy. Go ahead and no, but I'm just saying it's just like we would represent, if it would be a church, it would be, okay, we got Decatur, Conyers, you know, we got
Lathonia.
We got the east side.
East Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so I want you to get to see. So, and believe it or not, this area has its own characteristic. It has its own flavor.
Yes.
Than if you go to North Atlanta, or whether you go to over on my end, Clayton County,
mm-hmm.
South.
Mm-hmm. You see what I'm talking about? Or if you go west toward Austell and that thing. So this is what I want you to, when you're looking at it, to kind of take a hope. Mm-hmm. All right. And the seven spirits which are before his throne.
Holy Spirit.
Hey,
you're gonna go ahead and talk about
Come on,
this.
go ahead, jump in there.
The reason seven is used, seven stands for completion.
Go ahead.
And when he says the seven spirits before his throne, the Holy Spirit encompasses all there is to encompass about the spirits. And before he's there as a witness to what is being said, but he's also there to let you know that the Trinity is present. That's my explanation.
All right, now let me.
The sevenfold spirit?
Huh? No, it is the spirit in seven different ways right here. It's like God, if God is omniscient and he's omnipresent, he's here, he's everywhere, but he's still just one spirit. You see what I'm talking about? So for the churches or for that region, what would you have? You would have a spirit there, right?
Right.
Okay, now let me talk about seven. The number seven is the completeness, is the number of completeness in Revelation. You got seven spirits before the throne, which is 1 and 4. You got seven candlesticks, which is in 1 and 12. You got seven stars, which is 1 and 16. You got seven lamps, which is Revelation 4 and 5. You got seven seals, which is in 5 and 1. You got seven horns, which is in 5 and 6. You got seven eyes.
Horns.
Uh-huh. You got seven eyes, which is in Revelation 5 and 6. You got seven angels standing before God, which is 8 and 2. You got seven trumpets, which is in 8 and 2. You got seven thunders, which is in 10 and 3. You got 7,000 people killed, which is in 11 and 13. You got seven heads, which is in 12 and 3. You got seven crowns, which is in 12 and 3. You got seven angels, which is in 15 and 1. You got seven plagues, which is in 15 and 1. You got seven bowls, which is in 15 and 7. You got seven mountains, which is in 17 and 9. And last but not least, you got seven kings, which is in 17 verse 10.
So we're going to be dealing with seven.
Oh, that's seven, boy. That's going to be the completion in Revelation, the number seven.
And you can make it contemporary, 7 days in a week.
Right. So when he was done on the seventh day, he did what?
He rested.
So what's going to happen when on this final, when everything's wrapped up, new heaven, new earth, ta-da. It's a done deal. And we gonna be ruling and reigning with him. Hey,
are you gonna be ready?
Hey.
Are you gonna be ready?
I want an assignment. I don't want to just slide in with by the skin of my teeth.
Oh really?
I want to be given something to do in the kingdom.
I know that.
All right. So we good?
We're good.
We're good. We going to 5?
Yeah.
And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Boy, y'all ready? Faithful witness, number one. Was that past or present?
That was
present. Faithful witness. I think that's present.
He's present. He's always faithful. You're talking about Jesus, right? Yes.
Present.
Say
present.
He
witnessed everything.
Well, let's talk it out now. Y'all don't want me to tell it, right? I mean, I want to know what y'all getting out of it, because I'm just going to come from the tail end. I'm really facilitating this. But I'm gonna impart as we go along. So I wanna, when you are looking at it and it says, and from Jesus Christ, who, and that is in italics in my Bible, it said, who is the faithful witness. In the original manuscripts it says, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness.
And he has trustworthy witness
to man. Okay. All right. So now is of Jesus Christ, is that is that a past tense of him? Is that a present tense of him? Or is that a future tense of him?
Past, present, and future.
I would say past, present, and future.
I say all three, yeah.
Okay. Well, since this is a prophetic book, right, and we're talking about him, that would be the correct statement. Is he has already been, because he bore witness. And the Father acknowledged that. Remember when he was baptized, he said, this is my Son in whom I am what?
Well pleased.
All right, so now as we go through his life, he was confirmed as the faithful witness. Mm-hmm. That was when he was here, right? When he resurrected, then they got a chance to see him in resurrection form, right? So he did minister to folk after that, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. So now he's going to be another faithful witness when he come back again, right?
Right.
And then, of course, when he comes back again, then every knee going to bow and every tongue confess. Right. So it's definitely going to close out the chapter. All right? So he is that faithful witness. It says, the first begotten of the dead.
What is that?
Hmm?
Begotten or begotten.
He's the one who was raised from
first
the dead.
He's born from the dead.
Mm-hmm.
Number one.
He's the first one who experienced resurrection.
Yeah. Right.
Even those.
I drink to that and I don't even drink.
even those who were raised from the dead died again.
Again. Mm-hmm.
He died never to die again. He's alive now and never going to die again. So he was the first one that was resurrected that's not going to die again.
In fact, if you look at the word resurrection, resurrection means you are not dying again.
Resurrect.
Yeah. He's not dying again.
Right.
When you are resurrected, you won't die again.
Right.
So now
there's a difference between raised from the dead,
right,
and resurrected from the dead.
Wow.
Play on words.
Yeah.
Raised and resurrection are not the same. They not even
technical.
There
were many raised
from the dead.
Right.
But they died again.
When I read that particular verse number 5, 5 there, I had a flashback on Enoch and Elijah. You know, they did not partake of death, so to speak. So I had a play in this section here, what would happen to Enoch and Elijah, because there will be two resurrections, see.
They didn't die, so.
I think we're gonna get into that too.
They didn't die.
No, that's what I said.
Right.
You know.
Now the scripture does say now in it there were going to be some that don't taste death.
Right.
Yeah.
Now and now we have to understand that they have a particular job to do, And you know what job that's going to be. As we get down in here, they will return, and they will die.
Right. That was my point about die. These two here. Because I think the scripture is referencing Elijah and Enoch.
You don't know who die. They are? In Revelation, they're going to be the witnesses.
Okay.
That are going to die in the street.
Okay, I've never made that association between.
Oh, see, we're going to get in there.
Okay, that's interesting.
We'll get in there and show you. I jumped ahead since Bobby pushed that.
I like this resurrection, you know, over.
But this is not the first time that this term only begotten of the Father is in here. But I just want. Yeah. Now, what you want to do is look
it's
this
in
one.
Philippians, I think. Ephesians. It's in Ephesians.
Okay, this is moving on a little bit ahead here. Whoops, let me back up. Okay, what was the next point? First begotten of the dead. Mm-hmm. Okay, the prince of the kings of this earth. Past, present, or future?
That could be past, present, and future also.
Give me the present.
Well, he's not really a prince. He's king of kings. Now,
you know I'm going to mess with you. Go ahead.
You know you're going to mess with you. I think the prince word is what's throwing everything off, right? Go ahead.
Well, he's
say ruler.
Well, he's going to take back the authority that the prince of the power of the air has right now. He's going to take all of that back. Right now we do have a prince of the power of the air. We do have somebody that has authority right now that's hovering around doing pulling strings and doing some stuff right now. Right. So I want us to understand, being this a prophetic book, here's a statement here in 5 that's saying that and this is it said from Jesus Christ, who is 1 faithful witness, 2 first begotten of the dead, 3 prince of the kings of the earth, which is future tense because he's gonna come back and do all of that. Mm-hmm. And it says, and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Is he has done that, right?
Right.
He is now presently doing that for all of those that receive him, right?
Right.
And it's still present for my grandkids, for my great grandkids, until he comes back. So we got all of that, which was, is, and is to come, all represented in this whole statement right here. And with the washed, which is the most exciting part for us, because that's where our redemption lies. Mm-hmm. Right? So if this is a revelation of Jesus Christ, it's all being put out here in a way that not only could people who read it then, but who can read it now, and those that can read it in the future, get a representation of who Jesus Christ is. Right? Now, I read something very interesting, and I want to throw this out here. When it said here, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Did anybody notice the distinction between what it said here? And possibly why? Just a nugget. When it said, blessed is he, that's all right. Blessed is he that readeth. How many at that particular time, how many copies of Revelation was in circulation? Or how many?
Very few copies.
Very few.
Very few. So when it said, blessed is he that readeth, it takes into account that everybody wasn't able to read it. A lot were not. Then it says, and they that hear the words. So those that are responsible to be able to read have a responsibility to speak to those who cannot read. Who is that?
It's
us.
Usuns.
This is your responsibility to, when you get and digest this information, to share that information with others so that they can have a blessed hope.
Yeah.
Right?
And then obey what it says.
And then obey what it says.
Share the hope.
Share that hope. Share the hope.
But there are some things, though, you have to be very, I would say, be wise about not sharing, like all of these, some of the things, like what you're looking at, the trumpets, this is going to happen, and this is gonna, it can scare some people.
Okay, let me share something with you.
Share with me.
The Holy Spirit
okay.
has been known to put words in your mouth that you don't know.
Okay.
When it says, have no fear when you go before whoever it is that you go before, because it's the Spirit of God that will give you the utterance necessary to convict. All right? When I go out and witness to people, I don't worry about whether they're going to accept it, whether they're going to reject it, because it's not my word, it's His word. The Scripture said His word is not going to return what? It's going to accomplish that which He pleases and prospers into the thing where He sent it. So if I'm there speaking, I don't worry about am I going to be correct when I say it, because if I decrease and let Him increase, then He knows exactly not only what to say, but He knows who He's speaking to. I don't. He does.
Well, you know, I've noticed that as I talk to friends who are Christians, and, you know, I tell them about the Bible study, and I said, and we're now about to study Revelation.
Exactly.
It's scary. Oh my Lord. Ooh, y'all gonna get into Revelation. It's like they are afraid of this book. Mm-hmm.
But now listen at the conflict we have here. Here's a book that's already stated in the very first chapter that you gonna be blessed if you read it. If you just hear it and share it, but this is the book that people shy away from, and what an awesome blessing is that.
Also,
go ahead.
Just to add on what you just said, it also said keep it. In other words, you have to keep what you there you go. Retain it.
Not only does it mean that, all right, it doesn't mean a one-time situation.
It's constant.
You need to, out of all of what we study, you need to make sure that you have the completeness and get an understanding of what He's saying through His word all the way down to the end. Because if you're going to have an answer for every man, somebody's eventually going to ask you about this book.
Yeah.
But what about them horns? And what about them? What about them?
Eyes.
What about them plagues? Right?
Yeah.
I went through, look how many seven things I went through.
Really?
Look how many seven things that I went through. That's a lot of things people can ask you about.
Things.
What about that? What about the bowls? What about the trumpet? What about the heads? What about the... So as we go in here, it's not going to be as difficult as it looks when you go in here, and we're going to let the Spirit of the Lord digest this thing. And it's going to awaken some things. I can just tell you right now, my eyes are even more open now since I've just this first and second thing, because I went through it in school, but you go through it fast
right.
when you're in class. I mean, you know, you get sections at a time, and then they break it down, and then you got to get ready for the next session, then you got to have a test. So, you know, a lot of times you don't really get to, you know, you're just kind of regurgitating information because you want to get that A. Now that you can really get down in here. So now, if y'all ready for six, are we done with the washing and the prince and the begotten? And he's the first fruits, and so are we not on that tree to be ready so that we gonna get that new body?
Another point that I would make in verse number 5 there.
Okay.
Say unto him that loved us, and washed. Also, I don't want to leave that out. But unto him that loved us, that speaks volumes. He's talking about Christ there. And when you look at that word love versus wash, one is an adjective, one is a verb. And then I'm saying, here it is, I'm thinking about John 3:16. So he so loved us. You know, not that we didn't love him, he loved us when no one else would. Then he washed us from our sin. Mm-hmm. And I had a flashback on salvation on that one.
Right, because love is an action word.
Absolutely.
Hello. Mm-hmm. Love's an action word. You know, you're talking about you love me, where the proof at? he said, listen, you say you love me, your mouth is moving, but
your
actions ain't showing none of that. Your heart is right, because out of the abundance of the heart, your mouth can speak and your actions. Right?
But not just that, but it says, I can't find it right now, I know it's in here though. Yeah, while we were yet sinners, that he loved us.
Dead in our trespasses and
sin. That keeps you from pointing fingers at somebody else.
Right. With your toe up self. That's what I be talking about. I said, boy, with your toe up from the floor up self.
Yes.
I mean, even while we were out there acting a fool,
oh, Lord, yes.
He still loved us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the reason is because he chose to.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's not just an emotion.
Right.
When you get the goosebumps, mm-hmm. because God is love, he chooses to love.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless of what you do, he chooses to love.
Mm-hmm. And that's where I want all of us to understand, never, ever let the enemy say to you that you done messed up, or, you know, that condemnation that you ain't really this and you ain't really that. Because of that love, God went past all of that. God already know every flaw you got. Every attitude you ain't seen yet happen, even though you think you all that with your holy self. You know, it's, I'm just saying, you know, we walk and act, you know, and we should in humility, because we know not yet all that's presented.
Right.
And so that's why he said he resisted proud, because as soon as you feel like you got it, the enemy said, good. Oh, you got it? And then here come a test. But if you but if you just stay humble and say, Lord, you know that, you know these flaws that's in here. Because, I mean, I remember once that there was this group that had this perfect church thing going, and they would talk about how they was all perfect and all that. I said,
I remember that.
I said, ooh.
You talking about the church that was downtown?
Oh, yeah, man. Mm-hmm. I mean, you
the
know.
Perfect
they,
church.
Oh, my God. But I'm just saying, again, that's you raising yourself to a level when it's only God that makes you perfect in his sight. You are never perfect. You are just perfect in his sight, because he, through the blood, that blood covers all of that, because you still in this.
Mm-hmm.
This
yeah.
This suit right here got problems.
Yeah.
This skin got issues.
Mm-hmm.
Ask Paul about it. Paul said, ooh, this wretched man am I. This skin I'm in. I preached a message about that about 20-something years ago. This skin that I'm in.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bad boy. And when you say I ain't going to say it, better watch your mouth. When you say, you know, this and that, better be careful. Just say, Lord, keep me. because I'm yet at the door to fall. And that's, you can do a lot with that versus I'm a bad man. I got my armor on, my helmet, and you get to bragging about all that, boy, on the ground.
Mm-hmm. Are we supposed to be perfect in love, right?
We're being perfected in love.
Okay, being
perfected. Because it's an everyday, it's an everyday journey.
Mm-hmm.
I look at every 24 hours, we have an opportunity to be an example or be an example. Y'all like that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We can be an example or we can be an example.
That's true.
Huh?
Yes.
We can be the result of something or we can be the start of something. Mm-hmm. So you got 24 hours. It's all about choices, right?
Yep.
I love it. Choose you this day who you gonna serve. As for me and my house, we gonna stay humble. All right, let's go into six, because I feel a preach coming on there. An elder pulled me to the side there. So, all right, number six, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Go ahead, Elder. I know you want to jump in there.
I'm going to let you do it.
Come on.
I'm going to let you be the example.
That's what I'm talking about right there now. That is what I'm talking about. I had a...
It's a wonderful thing to be considered. King and priest.
Oh, my goodness. Go ahead, Bobby.
We become part of a royal priesthood. Only Christ would have a similar title like priest, because we're not going to be priests. We'll be part of a priesthood, a royal priesthood, I should say. Is that safe to say?
Are we not prophet, priests, and kings of our home?
That's why I've just been asking.
This is in the future now we're talking about.
Well, again, let's look at it. He hath made us
kings and priests.
Right. Mm-hmm. So is it a done deal? Is it a work in progress? What is it?
It's a done deal.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And when you see the word king, that's authority.
Right.
He has given you the authority over your whatever you Minister Gerald was saying, over your home, and you are the priest of your home. In other words, you offer up prayers and intercession for whomever God has put under your care.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But you have the authority to say what will be tolerated and what will not be tolerated.
Okay.
You are king.
Okay.
Kings have authority. Some people want to make themselves kings. Not let God do it. But God has to do that. You can't make yourself a king.
I understand that, just like I share sometimes sarcastically when my wife called me Lord. And I would submit that a woman should call recognize her husband as Lord, because as Sarah and Abraham. And I had shared that with someone. They say, I ain't calling him Lord. Say
you
amen.
Make sure you explain it, though.
well, since y'all have opened up that box, let us take it all the way back to Genesis, and I'm just gonna deal with that particular aspect, and then I'm gonna go back in here, and we're gonna work this just a little more, because I see a little piece of meat that we need to slice this thing up. God said after the sin in the garden, that whose desire was going to be unto their husband?
The wife.
The wife.
Right. So when you go and look that up, God said, because you messed up, you're going to be subservient, and you're going to have your desire is going to be unto him. You're going to look to him for support, pleasure, attention, and all of that.
But Adam messed up too. Real bad.
I'm just telling you what the Bible says. We just, listen, he got to go out there and work and still deal with his wife. Okay. So now it's a job, two jobs in itself. Hello. It's a little bit of work involved in both of them. He got to go out here. The job ain't good. Everything he put his hand to, he got to work at it. Ain't nothing given to him. He got to do it by the sweat of his brow. Then he got to listen to and manage.
Just tell God, I done messed up too.
No, I'm just saying that nobody escaped this situation, but you know the levels of what's got to be done, and that's why there is such a resistance, because when you say your desire's got to be there, that means you got to submit, and then that submitting to having somebody else to make those decisions. When the bill come, it get passed off, but when the time for spending, it's just good. They get done straight out. I mean, it's like, hey, the creditor call. Let me talk to Mr. So and so. He don't say, let's talk to Miss So and so. So I'm just throwing all that in there to deal with Bobby's situation. Now let's get back to this situation. It says, and hath made us kings and priests unto God. All right. So we have first our obligation to the Father, right? And this is a restoration process. When he first made man, did he not give man authority?
Yes.
So man lost authority through sin, right? So now it's saying here, because it's all connected, mm-hmm. and if you look in your Bible as well as I look in mine, from verse 5 to 6, there's a comma and not a period. Did you see that?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so understand, when there's a comma and not a period, they run together. But there had to be a dividing point to do the verses. All right, so it says, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that what? Loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God his Father. To him be glory, dominion. All right? Which is the culmination of what this is all about. It's all about the Son reconciling us back to the Father. You see it? So when you're reading and you're going from verse to verse, you got to look and see, is there a period at the end or is there a comma? Because you need to tie it in, because the theme is still running. Mm-hmm. See?
Mm-hmm.
Little nugget. I wanted us to go and work that thing out. Because see, we can only be made kings and priests unto God after we have been washed. Right?
Right. Right.
There's only one mediator between God and man, right? Mm-hmm. There's only one way for us to really be able to communicate and get back into fellowship, right?
Right.
So if we not washed, then we can't be kings and priests under God. Mm-hmm. We just dead in our trespassing sin. Our light ain't even on. Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is, when God makes you king, that's a delegated authority.
Mm-hmm.
And when you acknowledge that, you won't be boastful.
Right.
You will be humble.
Because you are under authority.
Right.
Even though you have authority. What did the centurion say? Say, hey, I understand your situation.
Because I got
people up under me, but I got to answer to somebody. Mm-hmm. He said, I'm already in submission. I come over here to you and ask you, right? And I know that you can do it.
But, Pastor, sometimes men abuse that authority.
True that. Tell the truth.
And sometimes.
Well, are those men saved?
Uh-huh.
Sometimes. Yeah. Sometimes they are.
At what part of salvation are they in? Are they still babes in Christ and not mature?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, when you first get saved,
Does everything change right then?
No.
It's a process.
It's a process. It changes from the spiritual context, but the spiritual part got to catch up with the physical part, and that's maturing, going from a babe.
The physical got to catch up with the
spiritual. There you go. Mm-hmm. So just to answer that, do saved folk do that? I said, what area of salvation are they in? Are they still babes in Christ? Because 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if in a man or a woman be in Christ, they will what? Become a new creation. Old things are passed away.
I heard a pastor say.
Thank you so much. That's why we should pray for our leadership. That they could come aware of the good news of the gospel that they preach.
But still, in this scripture 6, it's like a promise to us. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a great promise to us to be kings and priests unto the Father. Because that's a serious responsibility.
So since that's a serious responsibility, shouldn't we enlighten and inform other people that there is something coming down the pike that's going to be really good for you if you just hold on?
Yeah.
And Sister Rose, that's why it says you are blessed for reading.
That's what I'm talking about. Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, and this is a culmination of a lot of what we've studied already to come into grips with this, to be able to get what I call the dessert, because we eat a lot of meat all the time. Mm-hmm. We do. You know, how do we live? How do we walk? How do we talk? The fruit of the Spirit, regeneration. The power that come when you get the Holy Ghost, you get all of that, but nobody's really talking about the reward for holding on till the end.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's all about present day stuff. Living right, seeing right, doing right. Guess what? We can shout and be excited because God has got a reward for us. And then, is it going to come suddenly? Is it going to come shortly? When is he going to get here? Huh?
Yeah.
Paul said, I want to go be with Christ so bad. Did he not? He said, I want to be with Christ. Like tomorrow, but I can't because I still got a race to run.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. I still got things to do. But he was yet excited about the fact that he was going to be with him, wasn't it?
Right.
So I just think, you know, looking at this, is we want to be able to draw from all of it and see this blessing, because you know what that amen means, right? Let it be
an agreement.
In agreement, ditto.
Yeah.
All right. Boy, we after one. Y'all sure y'all want to do 7? Cause that word cloud, that word cloud. Boy, we got to work that.
Don't tease, right?
Hey, let me tell you, research cloud, cause that cloud is got some good meat in there now.
Yeah.
I have a pen note there. On Daniel 7:13, where he's talking about the cloud in the ancient days.
Bobby. Y'all know Bobby.
We're gonna start at 7.
Go ahead, Bobby. Go ahead, Bobby. Stay true to Bobby. Don't pay no attention.